Let's get it. All football, all the time. You're listening to the Best Football Show, hosted by Brian Baldinger.
Welcome to the Best Football Show. I'm Brian Baldinger, FBaldyNFL, on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, you name it. You can find this daily football show, the Best Football Show, wherever you get your podcast. This is a free Odyssey podcast. Just download it, like it, subscribe to it. Let's get to it, because this is, you know, getting ready to start week seven here, and I'm just sort of wrapping up some film study, and let's just get right to it. I mean, honestly, Joe Flacco won the game for Indianapolis last week against Tennessee. He won the game. He made the plays. He made a play to give him the lead down 17-13. He made an unbelievable throw on third and nine at the nine, kick field goal. You're still down a point. Got to go for it on fourth down probably. He made a throw in the middle of the field against a blitz zero. You could say that Pittman made the catch. He did. Great catch against L'Jarius Sneed. But Flacco made the call. He made the throw. He made the throw for their opening touchdown to Josh Downs on a wheel route on the outside. Read the coverage perfectly. Made the right throw. When they had the lead, 20-17 in the fourth quarter, and they had to sustain the ball and sustain possession, he made a great play across the middle. Look, Anthony Richardson, maybe he's the future, maybe he isn't. He's been hurt a lot. All I know is if I was a veteran player, if I was Quentin Nelson, like I'm going to go block at left guard for whoever's the quarterback. I'm not going to pick sides or anything like that. But Joe Flacco, in my mind, gives you a better chance to win. He gets the ball to his receivers. He's thrown seven touchdowns versus just one interception that he threw last week. Like, he keeps the ball out of harm's way. You could say the running game isn't the same. Well, Jonathan Taylor's not in the lineup right now. It's not going to be the same. But they were good enough, and they won a division game, and they're 3-3, and they're right in the middle of it. So I just think, for my money right now, the way Joe Flacco's playing, like he did in Cleveland last year, he's capable of getting that team to the playoffs. He's just capable of doing it. Let's go to Pittsburgh. Let's go to Pittsburgh. They had a huge home game this weekend against the Jets. And, you know, the defense won the game for them last week at the Raiders at Legion Stadium. T.J. Watt's knocking a ball out, you know, and this game was it was 22-7. It was 22-7 when T.J. Watt punches the ball out. I think it was Amir Abdullah. I think it was. It might have been Madison, one of the two. And there's Deshaun Elliott recovering it, literally, at the two-yard line and then advancing it a little bit. And when you look at Deshaun Elliott, he's on his fourth team in 4 years now. Kid was a six-round pick out of the University of Texas by Baltimore. I'm telling you, you put him and Minka right now at the safety position in Pittsburgh. They've got a good safety. There's good safety tandems around the league. Obviously, Atlanta with Simmons and Jesse Bates is very, very good. There's a lot of good ones. But this Minka Fitzpatrick, Deshaun Elliott safety combination with what they have at linebacker, outside linebacker, and along the defensive front, they're very, very good. Deshaun Elliott leads the Steelers in tackles, all right? Recovers a fumble at the goal line last week that helped really put that game on ice. I'm happy for him because he's had injuries in his career, but he's playing really, really well. The other big news obviously happened yesterday. Devontae, since we're talking about Pittsburgh and playing the Jets, Devontae Adams already in Florham Park yesterday as the news was breaking. So we touched on it yesterday. Is Devontae the missing piece? It's hard to say he is. It's hard because they've been penalized 50 times. The field goal kicker has not been great, and he missed two kicks that could have won the game for him. There's missed communication between quarterback and other receivers throughout the season, including the final play on Monday night that was intercepted by Teron Johnson, the ball intended to go to Mike Williams. So there has been very average defensive line play outside of maybe Will McDonald and Quinnen Williams. They don't look like a great group, although they played pretty good defense. But there's there's issues on that team. Now, you could easily say that they could have beaten Denver, they could have beaten Minnesota, and they certainly could have beaten Buffalo if maybe they made the opportune play at the right time. Their first goal at the three last week, they don't score. don't score a touchdown. Maybe Devontae and the relationship with Aaron, maybe that's the difference. They have incredible chemistry. Now, they haven't played in 3 years. It's a different team. It's a different system. It's a different play caller. It's not like it's, okay, you know, here's Nathaniel Hackett or, you know, here's Matt LaFleur calling plays in Green Bay 3 years ago. It's just, it's not. So will they have the same, will Aaron just call his plays for Devontae that they have scripted? I remember doing a game at Lambeau, probably, I don't know if it was the pandemic year, 2020, maybe it was the year before, but they're playing Chicago. It's negative 15 degrees outside. And Chicago's stubborn. It's NFC North. It's cold as hell. And it's fourth down, maybe the opening drive of the game. And Aaron Rodgers blows off Matt LaFleur, putting on the field goal team in that situation. And on fourth and whatever it was, fourth and five, he called a spray fade to Devontae against a good corner in Chicago. And he beat him. And Aaron put it right on him. Well, if they did that against the Vikings at the end of the game, they probably win that game. If they do that against Denver, they probably win that game. And even last week when they needed a score, maybe Devontae wins. Okay. So that's that. But I think they have other issues on that team. One team that is solid, though, is Buffalo. And they needed a receiver. You should say there's a team now that runs it more than they throw it. And to get Amari Cooper for a third-round pick, it's fantastic, really. They unloaded the salary, okay, with Stephon Diggs. It's clearly they miss him, but maybe not at the salary that he's making. Kind of paid him to go away. But Amari is a very good player. He is a great route runner, like Diggs was. He wins when you need him to win. Those red zone plays, those third down situations, more teams are going for it on fourth downs now because that's what the analytics say. Which is the guy that can beat man coverage? Well, Amari's better than Keon Coleman. He's better than Shakir. He's better than those guys. So Josh is going to have a guy that he can go to right now. And this is a team that runs it more than they throw it. That's probably not going to change. The offense line is very good. When Josh does break free and shakes loose, the way Sean McDermott explains it, I can imagine Amari Cooper adjusting real quickly, because he did last year to Joe Flacco. He adjusted very quickly to Joe Flacco. They had good chemistry. That's a good move by Buffalo. We'll see. And maybe it's a good move by New York. They've got nothing to lose. They're all in. It's a one-year deal. You know, get to the playoffs and advance as far as you possibly can. And who knows? It might all. And if it doesn't work out, it's all going to get blown up anyways. I'm watching the Carolina Panthers last week against the Atlanta Falcons, and I'm watching Chuba Hubbard play. He's the third leading rusher in the NFL. Like, this team is improving. They can run the ball. Robert Hunt, a guy they signed in free agency from Miami, is as good a guard right now as there is in the NFL. You watch him move people week in, week out. He's playing great. So, you know, last week they had Yash Nyman in there at right tackle. They had Brady Christensen at center. Damian Lewis, the big ick at left tackle. I mean, they ran the ball really well against the Falcons. They pushed them all over the place. That game was a one-score game, you know, in the fourth quarter. Now, look, Atlanta took care of business, but Carolina played really, really well up front. I mean, they need help. There's no question about it. But they're not ready. But, you know, I remember when Dallas, in Jimmy Johnson's first year, you know, they were 1-15. The only win came against the Washington team, the Redskins at the time. But even in that one first year, before Emmett came and all the help and all that, they had an offensive line. They had Nate Newton. They had Mark Tooney. They had, you know, Kevin at right tackle. You know, they had the semblance of an offensive line. They had pieces that became foundation for their Super Bowl teams. So I feel like I'm not predicting Super Bowls or anything like that in Carolina, but you can see improvement in that team. And I mean, if you ask any football person outside of, you know, your fantasy football junkies, nobody's going to know that Chuba Hubbard has clearly distanced himself from Miles Sanders. He's getting majority of the touches. He's averaging, I don't know, 4.8 yards a carry. I mean, right now it's Derrick Henry, it's Jordan Mason, it's Chuba Hubbard. And that offense line in Carolina is good. All right, let's go to this hybrid fullbacks that are now in the league. Converted defensive tackles like Patrick Ricard in Baltimore. And now Scott Matlock with the Chargers. Matlock played, I don't know, almost half the snaps last week as they blew out Denver. But his role is very similar to Ricard. And it's interesting that the Harbaughs have taken backup defensive tackles, guys that would probably be the fourth or fifth defensive tackle on your roster, maybe not even, you know, active on Sundays. And they've become this hybrid tackle, hybrid fullback, hybrid tight end, blocking back, protector, you name it. And there's a real value in these offenses to it. And if I'm somebody that wants to be a two-back offense, and maybe fullback is too expensive, you know, to say like a Kyle Juszczyk or somebody like that, go get me a 315-pound backup defensive lineman like Matlock. If I can play him on defensive lineman because we're thin there, or he can play him both ways. We've seen Ricard play both ways during his career. I feel like it's going to force scouts to go work out backup defensive linemen to see if they can, if they're athletic enough to do these kind of things. Final topic today is the New York Giants. They play the Philadelphia Eagles at home this week. It's Saquon's homecoming. I'm sure he's going to be excited about it. The Giants played a phenomenal defensive effort against Cincinnati on Sunday night. I mean, Brian Burns and Azeez Ojulari and Dexter Lawrence were about as nasty and productive a defensive line, outside linebacker group as I've seen in any game this year. Joe Burrow came in averaging 35 points a game over his last three starts. I mean, it was a 10-point game into the fourth quarter, deep into the fourth quarter. The difference was Daniel Jones was awful. Like, I don't know. He played great against Seattle the week before in Seattle. Last week, they're drawing up plays where it's half-field reads, it's high-low situations. This is where the ball goes. Defensive line, the flat defender jumps the flat route. You just throw it to Darius Slayton in the 7-hole. I mean, basic stuff. Fourth down play. All right, here's a bunch formation. Here's Wandale. There's your, you know, with a chance to go tie the game, take the lead, whatever. Oh, it was just horrible. It was Daniel Jones, he has to be better than that. And he was not good in that game. And it's a shame because they wasted a great defensive effort. Had they find a way to win the game, they're right in this race in the NFC. And they're still in it. You know, they got the Eagles this week. Maybe Malik Nabers is back from his concussion and Motor Singletary's back. But they, you know, they lost their left tackle. It's unfortunate. He's their best offensive player. Andrew Thomas. He's a great player. So I don't know. You lose your best player at that position with a quarterback coming off a shaky start. You know, you don't think that it could end up very well. Anyways, that's a real quick look at on this Wednesday here on the Best Football Show. Thanks for joining me. And I'll be back here doing a live show tomorrow. I think we start at 11 o'clock. Look for it online. It'll be advertised all over the place. But I'm here to take all your questions. Please, get on cue and fire them away. Thanks for listening, and thanks for enjoying, and thanks for telling all your friends about the Best Football Show.